AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday, the 26th of February. It wants to melt it out there now. It's turning. If you think about it, it's like a little more than 3.5 months before we get to the first day of summer at this point. So it's the sun is trying to melt it out there right now. And Brett, I don't know if you've been out at all. It is lovely. I would say at least 4 inches from Sunday morning after the last snowstorm to right now, at least 4 inches are down on most snowbanks.
And every day this week is pretty much close to 40, so most of it's going to be gone by Friday.
Most, I don't know. I think a lot of the large piles, they'll still have a little bit of remnants to it.
But, well, yeah, you're talking parking lots.
Yeah well, not even next month. Well, parking lots, my driveway. yesterday, I slept like a baby last night. Because not only did I have to shovel that and, of course, have to throw it like 5 feet in the air every time I threw it, but then I went cross-country skiing over at Highland, which was fantastic. Me and my oldest daughter went out there and zipped around. Just gorgeous skiing out there. And, of course, if you do cross-country skiing, you start, hey, by the time you start figuring out, oh, I'm getting the hang of this, all of a sudden you realize, oh, my God, I'm exhausted. This is like the most exhausting thing I've ever done. That's why when I look at athletes, cross-country skiers are some of the most physically fit human beings that the planet's ever created.
So can you even, like, lift your arms above your head at this point?
I can. It hurts here. It hurts right here. I can feel it right there.
You can see Matt try to do that on our Facebook Live feed as well.
Watch me in pain on Facebook Live. Go to AM 950 Radio on Facebook, and you can watch the show. It's radio for your eyes. It is. It's right there. The Olympics finished up last night, although I didn't get to watch it. Thanks, Xfinity. My cable box went crudded out. Yeah, right at about 6 o'clock, right when I was wanting to watch it.
I'm sure their customer service was very helpful trying to get that solved.
Their Twitter guy was great, actually.
Oh, really?
Because I thought this thing would still be down today, but I did miss the entire closing ceremonies. Great. But I think it was Saturday morning, early Saturday morning is when the U.S. curling team won the Olympic gold there. That is a nice win. And Minnesota, you should be darn proud. That was a heck of a showing out there. The state with the most gold medals. I think we tied with California for the most athletes. And what, California's got six times as much population as Minnesota does. So, pound for pound, Minnesota is the linchpin of the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. And it's a shame because I really enjoy watching some of these sports. The speed skating's a hoot. I mean, that speed skating, especially that team pursuit stuff, that's fun. The skeleton, that is a gutsy sport.
I don't know what kind of mindset you need to do the skeleton.
I'm doing luge, but my feet are in front. How can I make this more exciting? I'll put my head down there. Why not? No surviving a crash for me. Dear Lord. Curling. Curling, I'm going to guarantee you the few curling rinks we do have, there's one in St. Paul. There are a few around. They're already going to be booked up for months after this. And I hope this is the renaissance for curling in Minnesota. When I was a kid, my dad drove us around Virginia, Minnesota, where his family was from. And he pointed where there used to be, I think it was two curling rinks up there. And he pointed, there's one there. There used to be one there. And he was telling us when the day that they tore down the one that was kind of everyone went to in Virginia, that was a sad day. That was a sad day. But it's a fun sport. It's really entertaining to watch. We win the gold out of nowhere. I mean, that was huge victory for us on that. I'm feeling pretty good about things. Although, you did see what Delta did, right?
Oh, with the curling.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Delta again.
Again! You guys can't get out of your own way. So the Delta teams, the guys on the curling team, American gold medal curling team. Hey, Delta, how about an upgrade first class for the gold medal winners? Now, granted, it is pandering. I'll buy that. What you don't expect is Delta to say, oh, I'm sorry, no. You are sitting in your regular seats. Some guy in first class gave up his seat in first class for the captain. But that wasn't on Delta. That was on the customer. which is pretty amazing. They apparently had a champagne toast on this. I'm sorry. By the way, the whole thing I was wondering is, did the Delta PT people teach them like they treated us? Like, your gold medal doesn't matter here, sir. You're checking your carry-on now.
Your medal's a carry-on. You have to pay.
Yeah, you got to pay extra for that. I'm gonna put that down in the lower deck. Don't worry, we'll get there eventually. Damaged, broken in two. Oh God, that'd be horrible. I can only imagine that I'm hoping that their experience was slightly better than mine. But as a matter of fact, I'll tell you what. I'll get back to that in a little bit here, because I do want to start off something with this meme that was running around over the weekend. But I first got to talk about the Blue State Ball. It is coming up here in basically 2 weeks. It's March 10th, so a week from this upcoming Saturday, the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. We have got, Mike McAtee, myself, Norman Goldman, Tom Hartman, all going to be there. So that's good. I mean, well, not me. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'll be in the corner saying, are you done with that plate? I'll take that for you. That's going to be me. Should I do it? Maybe I'll do a bassoon solo or something like that. You know, just to kind of light. I'll be in the corner playing bassoon to, you know, kind of keep the crowd going. Nice. I like that idea. But that's not enough. We of course, politicians. We now, once again, politicians, it's tough to work around their schedule. Now we're getting in the last 2 weeks here. You're going to start hearing about a lot of the people that are going to be starting to come in and hear the politicians that we're going to have come up. Of course, we've talked about the mayor of Minneapolis, who's not in a political race and very quickly joined us, decided to join us. Jacob Fry is going to be joining us, mayor of Minneapolis. We're looking forward to having him at his first Blue State Ball. It's going to be a hoot meeting him. We got a new announcement, a new person who is going to be joining us, Rebecca Otto. She is running for the DFL nomination to be governor of the state of Minnesota. Rebecca Otto is confirmed. Rebecca Otto will be there to talk to the loving base of the DFL. That will be nice. Rebecca's been there before. We've had the auditor when she was, well, she is still the auditor, but we've had her in there before. Talking to the crowd. She's always been a very popular guest. It's nice to have her back. Who else? Keep listening. We'll let you know more guests as we get them. But right now, confirmed, we can say Jacob Fry, mayor of Minneapolis, Rebecca Otto, state auditor, candidate for the DFL ticket to be governor of the state of Minnesota. We'll let you know as we go. But you want to get your tickets right now. Go to am950radio.com, am950radio.com. The VIP tickets, that's 5:30 to 7. You get a rub elbows with the celebs. Enjoy that. That's good fun. And then, of course, at 7 o'clock, we open the doors for general admission. Lots of great speeches. A lot of great vendors. We're going to have a lot of great vendors out there as well. Great food, great drinks. You'll want to come and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, so, you know, do you have a nice clothes? Do you have a big boy suit to wear for this there, Brett?
T-shirt and jeans probably won't cut it. Well, it is blue jeans to ball gowns, so, well, probably not for me.
For everyone else, yeah. But us. I mean, I've tried
no
to, you know, it's a loose interpretation. Join us. We're going to have a lot of fun. Blue State Ball, that's March 10th at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. 952-946-6205. All right, so I mentioned the Delta thing before, and I mean, if you remember last week, what I talked about was if the whole thing with Delta seems to be, from my flight, is they know that 90% of the people that fly with them in the cheaper seats are probably not going to fly with them again. I mean, like I said, I've never given any business that much money. My wife and my kids and I flew down to South Carolina to visit family. We spent $1,300 on tickets, and you would have acted as if I went and, you know, killed their dog the way that the Delta people treated us. I mean, $1,300, last time I checked, is a pretty good chunk of change. And as we said on the show, most people, that's their, not only their disposable income, but that's like all the money they'll have for 5 years. And yet, the way it was treated, the gate people, not the stewardesses were delightful, but the gate people, the ticket people, the phone people, they were all just as rude. They're rude. And it came down to us as thus determining that their argument seems to be to try to anger and make mad the 10% who are going to fly with them again, to try to get them to upgrade, because it's no longer just first class and economy. It's first class, business class, preferred, and then El Cheapo, and you know the Delta sets the price for those El Cheapo seats. So I'm buying the seat that they set the price for. It's yet that basically their argument is we're going to treat you as badly as we can to try to at least upgrade you to preferred, get you to pay another $200 per ticket just so that we will be somewhat nice to you. And that's just a horrible business model. But it mimics a lot of the business models of today where the executive class is the priority. They're not doing this because they have to. They're doing this because this is their mindset and everything is geared towards as long as the executives are happy, then the heck with their customer base. And that's a bad thing. Wells Fargo, you know, the executives were stealing money from their own customers. They were stealing money from their own customers to make bonuses and make their stock prices look good. I mean, that's all it was. It was theft. It was outright theft. I'll get back to that in a second. I wanted to remind you of that, though. Over the weekend, there have been numerous people, conservatives, who have tried to offset the Parkland shooting by referring back to the days of yore. If only things were like they were back in the days of Mayberry. Andy Griffith Show. If we could only go back to the Mayberry of then, we wouldn't have shootings. We wouldn't have those. Unfortunately, we can't go back. So I guess the entire argument that they're saying is, since we can't go back to a mythical time where we have applied this standard, which really wasn't the case, we're just going to have to live with the massive gun slaughters that we have in this country because, you know, Mayberry. I guess that's what their argument is. Now, their argument's absolute crud, and as a matter of fact, not only did The Daily Show a few years back do an exceptional piece destroying this notion of the good old days, how things were so much better back then. They weren't. For a lot of people, they were far worse. But as well, this argument that guns back then were no problem. I mean, as a matter of fact, Andy Griffith has a phenomenal speech. I think it was from season 5 of the Andy Griffith Show where he says, "Why don't I carry a gun? It's because I'd rather people not fear my gun but respect me as the person." Oh my gosh, the NRA doesn't want you seeing that part of Mayberry. But there is something from back yonder, which if we did bring back, I don't know if it necessarily would ease up on the gun culture in this country, but it would start making lives a lot better for a lot of people and hence diffusing the frustration and anger which seems to be running rampant in this country as we speak. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'll break that down a little bit more. Plus, we got to talk about the sexual harassment training over at the Minnesota House. I didn't get to this last week. I'm going to get to it today. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. You're living in your
own private Idaho. Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Hi, Matt McNeil, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. It's SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota. The Highlander is an amazing vehicle. Features an available direct-injected 3.5-liter V6 engine, a bold look, space for up to 8.5 USB ports, and tons of cargo space. Rudy Luther Toyota currently has 140 2018 Highlanders in stock with financing as low as 0.9% for 60 months, plus the great Rudy Luther service I love. Stop by for SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Oh, got my tickets for the Blue State Ball. Got on Twitter. This is Drunk Sarah Palin.
That's a person I want to see at the
place. Well, you will. They've got their tickets at the BSB. They're excited to see the M&M boys, Matt McNeil and Mike McEntee. Mike's fine. Me, you know, let's just keep expectations down where they belong, okay? I'll be the guy with the, either the pickles or the bassoon. It's not really. It's what I do. It's what I do at the Blue State Ball. Looking forward to seeing you there. And once again, Rebecca Otto is going to be at the Blue State Ball, of course, running for the DFL nomination to become the governor of the state of Minnesota. Rebecca Otto will be there, as well as Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis. We encourage you as well to join us at the Blue State Ball, March 10th at the Blaisdell, am950radio.com for ticket information. So, going back to this whole idea, this notion of Mayberry, that what Republicans keep saying is we wouldn't have shootings in schools if we are only could go back to the time of Mayberry. Well, we can't. Well, first of all, that time never existed. That was a TV show, you idiots. And so that didn't exist. And there was a lot of people that didn't have a great time during the 1950s and 60s. And so you implying we can, but we can't go back anyway. Even if that did exist, we can't. We are in the world we're in today. And the reason why Mayberry in your mind doesn't exist today is A, minorities, you know, your white town back then, all of a sudden, you know, you start seeing a few extra people that are not nearly as, you know, Nordic white as you'd like them to be. And all of a sudden you think, you know, everything's going bad. You know, that's your issue, not mine. The other issue is the fact that we're pouring guns into the streets. This is not rocket science. We've been pouring guns into our communities, into our streets, and there is actually a direct correlation between number of gun deaths and the weakness of the gun laws in each individual state. States that have strong gun laws have far less gun deaths than the states that have weak ones. This is not rocket science. That's where you get the problem. But there was a time, there was something that went back, was going on back there. And this is kind of the idea that they were they're kind of trying to float out there. The good old days when the nuclear family was in place. Dad went to the job, worked, mom stayed at home, helped the kids out. You had a house, you had a car, you went on vacations. Mom and dad saved a few bucks for retirement. That's kind of what they're referring back to. And the reason why they're using this whole mentality and this imagery is because the world we have today is a far cry from that. It's a far cry from it. It is, you know, most people, if you're a married couple, both parents work. A lot of times most people work 2-3 jobs and they still can't afford a house. Your kids are having to, you know, take care of themselves in some cases. You have kids staying in daycares or staying in after school programs, hoping they're getting the schoolwork done. You know, you don't have vacations, you don't have a house, you don't have a car. That's what their argument they're going to put out there. So if you want to really go back to that time, there's a simple way we can do this. Raise the wages. You look back on the history of this country And once again, I want to make sure I'm saying this. I'm not saying there's a direct correlation between this and this is going to stop gun violence. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we are an angry society. We are a bitter society. We are frustrated about where we are at. And the reason why is because we are working harder than we ever have, and we're not getting anywhere. And does that frustration and anger lead to violence? Yes, in some cases it does. I'm still not equating one to the other. I'm just saying that we have a society that's breaking. And the reason why it's breaking is because ever since the 50s and 60s, we've had an undoing of our labor market. The 50s were the golden age of union labor. From the 1880s, if you look back on the 1880s were a god-awful time in America, because if you were working for a company, in many cases, it was a company town. You'd go into Pennsylvania or into Minnesota up on the Iron Range. You go to, Iowa, Missouri, Alabama. You were working in a company town. And not only did you work for the company, but the company owned everything in town. I mean, that's how it was. I mean, they had to go in there. They'd have to build a road in there. They had to build housing for their employees. They'd build a bank and a grocery store and churches. They'd build all. And this was the society that they built in. And it was ripe for abuse. It was ripe for abuse. If you've ever read about the company town era, I mean, there's one story where I read this guy was from Bulgaria or something like that, and there was a local holiday from Bulgaria they wanted to celebrate. He didn't get to celebrate it. They had to go work. And when he was upset about it, he said something in the office, but nothing big. I mean, he just sort of said, it's a shame that we couldn't have this day off. Well, his wife goes to the grocery store later that week. They refuse to allow her to buy fresh produce, that she could only buy canned foods of that nature, that was the punishment that they had to her for her husband speaking out. And when she said, why can't I buy the fresh produce? She said, you need to go talk to your husband about why he's bad-mouthing the company. This was at the grocery store, having nothing to do with the company. His wife had nothing to do with it, but the family got punished because they felt as if he was getting out of line. There is one case where the wife of the regional manager, who was kind of the head of the town, it wasn't an elected position, it was an appointed position. She did not like the color red and so ordered everyone to only plant yellow flowers. Think about this. You're in a town and you're like, wow, why does everyone have a flower of yellow? It's pretty, I guess, but it's weird. Well, because the woman didn't want any other flower color but yellow, because she liked yellow. And she felt so empowered by being the wife of the regional manager that she basically went over and that became the rule, that if you were in this town, you had to have the flowers. And even the banks would screw over the people that if you got fired or if you left of your own volition and you wanted to leave, the first thing they did is they booted you out of the company housing. And then you went to the bank to try to get your money, and the bank would not give you your money. They would argue, it's like, well, you have to have a permanent address before we're going to give you the money back. And even if you did go and get a permanent address, then came back to the bank saying, here's our permanent address, a lot of time the bank said, we don't have your money anymore. We have no idea where it is. Needless to say, it was pocketed. I mean, it was a ripe for corruption system. And we started slowly but surely in the 1880s, 1890s, 1900s, 1910s, 1920s, 1930s to change this. The 1950s were an important time because what had happened is we were in post-World War II. We had an economy that was humming along. We were helping to rebuild Germany and Japan and Italy at that point. We'd become the world leader. Countries were looking at us as a great savior. We had prestige across the globe, and we had finally gotten to the point where the workers had rights and we had living wages. You go back and listen to the radio shows from the 1950s. You listen to these shows and you listen to what was being said, and they're all, even the most conservative guys, are these great union jobs. Isn't it great? Unions make America strong. I mean, they were all pro-union. They were all pro-worker. But then the conservatives started, they changed their mentality. They no longer were trying to stop the implementation. They started trying to undo these rules, and they have been unbelievably successful. Back in the 1950s, you could go work for your job. You'd work 8 hours a day. You got paid the equivalent of about $35,000 to $40,000 would probably be the equivalent today. You could afford a house, albeit not in the nicest neighborhood, but you still could afford a house. You could get a car. You could go on vacation once a year with your kids. You could put money away for your retirement. You could save money for your kids' college. That was the time that they're referring back to. And we could fix this. But right now, the Republicans, why would they? They would rather have you dreaming of this like it's a dangled lottery ticket in front of your face saying, you could be the winner, as opposed to actually fixing the problem. Today, like I said, you don't have this. We are getting to a point where it's not a company town, it's a company country, where corporations run this place, and if we don't like it, well, then they'll make our lives just miserable. And it's not, and it's so bad that you even give money to companies to try to basically get services, and they basically treat you like crud, or they're stealing the money from you. I'm going into your bank to open up an account, and you're going to steal money from your own and clients because why? The executive branch. Walmart recently try to make a big deal out of the fact that we gave away Trump bonuses, which they really didn't give away much in the way of Trump bonuses. What they didn't want you to know is behind the scenes, they closed a bunch of Sam's Clubs and unemployed a whole bunch of people. But the most nefarious thing those jackasses did was they went back and they basically recategorized a lot of their assistant managers, fired them, immediately offered to rehire them back under a new job classification that happened to pay thousands of dollars less per year. Why did the Waltons do this? They're not exactly living check to check, are they? The Waltons could stop taking in money today, and they, their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids, their great-great-grandkids, their great-great-great-grandkids will never have to work a day of their life and be some of the wealthiest people on the freaking planet. So then why? Why would you do this? Well, part of it is greed, to make stock prices look a little bit better, to offset the fact that we're giving away these bonuses but by screwing over all of our assistant managers. But the other thing is, it's just they're jackasses. It's this ideology, this zealotry that they have to turn everything back to the 1880s. So even though they don't have to do this, they don't have to do this to their assistant managers. They did it anyway, just because they could. You want to take us back to a better time in America? Start reining in the corporations, for God's sakes, because they're the ones that are really screwing us over. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
So you know you need your carpet clean to keep your home healthy and smelling good. But don't use just a deal-of-the-day contractor you've never heard of that leaves your home smelling like a janitor's closet. Get spring cleaned with Zero Res and their Gotta Love It guarantee. This month, get three-room Zero Res clean starting at $129. Plus, this month you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own four or six packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know that better energy is finally affordable. With All Energy Solar, Minnesota's number one local home solar provider, you can go solar with little or no money down. Qualified property owners could even see a return on investment in less than 1 year. Xcel Energy's Solar Rewards Incentive Program is available first come, first serve, and federal tax credits are available for a very limited time. Schedule your free solar assessment today. Visit allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 38. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 20. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 37. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a high around 38.
Don't miss the Midwest's largest health and wellness show. It's the Healthy Life Expo this Saturday and Sunday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. See up to 200 exhibitors, free speakers, and more. The Healthy Life Expo this Saturday and Sunday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Victor's 1959 Cafe. One of my favorite breakfast places in town, but fantastic food all day long. Great Cuban food. 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Victor's 1959 Cafe, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. 952-946-6205. Like I said, if you really want us to go back to a time where people, I would love that. I would love to go back to a time where one of the people in the house could work an eight-hour job and get paid a livable wage to where they could actually buy a house and buy a car. And I'm not talking about free handouts. I mean, they're working. They're providing a service to the business, and the business pays them a fair wage for their efforts. And this was across the board. I mean, if you want to understand why the 50s were so good, people that were like assistant managers at a Walmart or would work a full-time position at a McDonald's got paid enough money to where they could buy a house and have a car. Think about that. You don't realize how far back we have fallen. And the reason we have fallen is because of the Republicans. So I find it to be ironic the Republicans want to remind people of the way things were, considering that was, like I said, the golden age of labor, and a lot of that was due to unions, the union labor out there. As they try to get rid of this, they've systematically destroyed the middle class, and they have pushed them further and further down. We are returning back to the days of the company town, where five corporations run everything in your life. Your phone, your cable, your bank, your health care, all your shops you go to. And if you get blacklisted, they basically say, we're not going to give you services. Where do you go? It's an ugly, ugly world that we're living in right now. And a main reason why it's gotten so bad, and the reason why people are so angry and frustrated, is because of conservative policies. Because the conservatives looked at that, and they want to go back to that wholesome time, but what they're really basically saying is, don't you remember when you all lived in a white community? It was all white and there was hardly any minorities anywhere. That's the time they want to remind you of. But since you reminded us, I would like to go back to a time when someone went to work every day, Monday through Friday, worked 8 hours, and got paid $35,000, $40,000 a year. And like I said, it's not going to buy you the best house, but you could still probably afford a house, could afford a car. Might be able to put a few bucks away for retirement. That is, I think, the world that we should be trying to head to, as opposed to the world that these Republicans want to try to force down our throats. 952-946-6205. The State Representative Aaron Maid Quaid left Wednesday's sexual harassment training for the Minneapolis House of Representatives. All of a sudden, my screen went blank here, so let me try this again. The Apple Valley lawmaker who had last fall detailed how she was subject for unwanted advances and became a leading figure in the Me Too movement's prisons needed a few minutes to compose herself before speaking to the reporter. She was in tears as she left this meeting. Maid Quaid later offered sharp criticism of what the House leaders had billed as a first step towards changing a male-dominated culture perceived by some as hallowed in chauvinism. And the onus, she said, is placed on the women. We shouldn't have to go to work and tell every single person, don't flirt with me, and that's how it felt. The session was mandated by House Speaker Kurt Dowd, who said he was surprised by the criticism of Maid Quaid. and that he had gotten, other people had given him positive feedback. I want to bring up one quote about the training that was put forward. And this is from Rena Morin, state representative of the DFL. Rena Morin, one of the few African-American House members, praised the basis training, bias training, the harassment training, I felt a little short. She said, it didn't focus on the responsibility of those who do this kind of behavior. What? Wait a minute here. You had sexual harassment training. All right. You are in an institution where sexual harassment has been a problem from both sides of the aisle. All right. It is led by a guy who there seems to be strong evidence knew about some of these cases for months and did nothing about them. All right. And so you finally get shamed into having these sexual harassment training. And one of the people that supposedly supports you and thinks it was good training has made the comment, it didn't focus on the responsibility of those who did do this behavior. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? All right, if you are having a seminar on the evils of liquor store robberies, you don't start off the seminar by saying, let's first talk about those liquor store employees guarding that sweet, sweet liquor, all that booze just sitting laid out there. And look at that cash register just laden with tasty cash. You know, it's partially their fault. I mean, let's just be honest. They're asking for it with all that sweet booze and cash. But the guy with the gun is the bad guy. How do you screw this up? A person goes to work to do their job and is not responsible for the devious behavior of the other individuals in the employment workplace, and yet because your insane stupidity of the both sides do it crap, you screw this up and basically make the victims of the sexual harassment partially to blame because they just want to go to work and not have someone grab them on the caboose. You go in with the mentality of, hey, these chicky poos and the chicky poos, they're kind of asking for it. You see the skirt she was wearing? I'm not condoning it, but let's look at yourself first. No! They're not, this is insanity. How do you have a sexual harassment seminar that doesn't just focus on, by the way, dudes, stop it. Stop it. You get into the work, you do your job, you go home. Don't take the magic wand out. Don't act like you basically are, Johnny, I can score with anyone. Just do your damn job and go home. How is that not the seminar? Can you hire me? Stop. Don't do it anymore. You got it? Keep it in your pants. Act like an adult. Ta-da! People that are coming into work that are not looking to have sex are not looking to have sex with you. So stop it. How do you screw up this? Especially after all the problems you have. And the fact that the Republicans quickly run and say, well, this was good. This was... No. If you didn't focus solely on the individuals who do the sexual harassment and saying this type of behavior is wrong and it's not going to be tolerated. If you didn't do that, then you massively failed. There is no other side to this. There is no, well, we have to talk about the other individual. No, there isn't. There is nothing there. You just could not help yourselves. It's just impossible for you to say, all right, guys, Tony Cornish was wrong. We didn't make him apologize. Even though we knew about things were going on, we kind of tried to keep it quiet. But when it came to light, he fell on the sword and retired and resigned and got out of the way before we had to do anything bad. So in a way to sort of salute him back, let's make sure we talk about those sweet chicky poos and all the damage they're doing here to the sexual harassers. How in the world do you get that mentality? How in the world do you screw this up? I for the life of me, I can't, how do you screw this up? How is this not solely about the people that are doing this kind of behavior? Guys, stop it. There's your seminar. I'll come on in here. All right. If it's not your wife and you're not dating, you shouldn't be doing that here in the workplace anyway, but in the workplace, this is not a place where this is not debauchery. This is not this. You are coming here to do a job. You are a congressman. You are a senator. Your job is to be here and to do your work, not here to try to see how many people you can score with. So stop it. That's not responsible. There is no excuse. There's no nothing. Do not victim blame. Do not victim shame. Don't do any of that. This is about the male behavior and how it's out of line. Period. End of story. End of discussion. God, Kurt Dowd could be one of the most incompetent politicians I have ever seen in my entire life. Just what a freaking howler monkey exhibit he and the House Republicans are, aren't they? What a freaking bunch of morons. Unbelievable. How do you screw this up? Cheryl is in Minneapolis. She wants to chime in on this issue. Welcome on in, Cheryl.
Hi, Matt. And to make it worse, we have to pay to have them take this darn training. We have elected, well, who we thought were responsible, upstanding, knowledgeable, above reproach representatives, and now we have to teach them to how to behave. I mean, this infuriates me. I'm a state employee. I'm fighting for my contract to get a measly 2% raise. And now we're paying not only a consultant to teach this darn class, but how much time is being taken away from the business of the state because of this? It just makes me infuriated.
It's infuriating, Cheryl, because we have to have this discussion. It's infuriating because they screwed it up. I mean, and this is nothing against the person that set the agenda. I think this comes from Kurt Dowd and the House Republicans. I think the mentality is it's just impossible for them to say, guys, we're wrong. We can't be treating women like this. That's just unacceptable. Okay, did you just hear what I just said? How is that not the entire... Guys, we can't do this. No, we can't. This is unacceptable. We cannot be treating women like this in the workplace. How is that not your seminar? How did you screw this up? How did you screw this up? Intentionally. That's how they did. They did it intentionally. Bill and a return of Randy and Coon Rapids when we come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom inviting you to the Blue State Ball VIP reception on Saturday, March 10th at the Blaisdell. VIP starts at 5:30, where you can meet and take selfies with me, Norman Goldman, and other AM 950 hosts. The reception is a hosted bar with butler passed hors d'oeuvres, great music from Paul Metza, and signed book giveaways. Then stick around for general admission at 7. So come mingle with me, Norman Goldman, and other AM 950 hosts during the Blue State Ball VIP reception. VIP tickets are at am950radio.com. I'll see you at the Blue State Ball.
Hi, Ellie Krug here. You may know me from Hidden Edges Radio on Sunday afternoons. I'm now thrilled to report that every Monday at 7:30 a.m., I'll also be hosting a new weekly half-hour show named Ellie 2.0. Ellie 2.0 follows my journey through life as I teach and train about human inclusivity. It'll be an uplifting edge for your Monday morning commute. Hooray! Please join me for Ellie 2.0 every Monday at 7:30 a.m. See you then!
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. AM 950 listeners know I've been a big supporter of the station. I'm also a job creator. I've assembled a team of the highest quality technicians to ensure our reputation continues to grow. After all, a job creator is simply someone who responds to customer demand. That demand has remained strong at PJW because we deliver quality the first time around. See why it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Reminder, once again, Blue State Ball, Rebecca Otto is going to be at the Blue State Ball, joining Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis. Lots of other political guests we will be announcing as we get closer to the event. AM950radio.com, AM950radio.com to get tickets to join me, Mike McEntee, Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, plus Jacob Frey, Jacob Fry and Rebecca Otto joining us over at the Blue State Ball. Bill is in South St. Paul. He's been holding forever. Welcome on in, Bill.
Hi. I want to jump back to your economic discussion earlier.
Yes.
I'm 77 years old. I've been a member of the union since I was 18, first the packing house union, and I've been a lifetime member of the teachers union. And when I was growing up in the 40s and 50s, you could work in the packing house, the wife could stay home, you could have a home in South St. Paul, you could have a cabin up in some lake, you could have a boat, and one income could pay for that. It all started to change with Reagan economics. That was really started.
The war on the unions began in the 60s, though. They started going after the unions early on that. Do you remember how much money you were making a year back then? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
How much?
When I was 18 years old, my dad got me working at Swift & Company. I was making $100 a week as an 18-year-old. I could pay for my college tuition. My freshman year at St. Cloud State was $42 for 15 credits.
Wow. $42 for
15 credits. I have three graduate degrees. I never had a college debt because I could come home, work on the weekends in the packing house. They'd pay us college guys if we'd work on the holidays. They'd pay us triple time. So we'd always work Christmas Day. Whatever holiday, I'd always come and work in the packing house. So I always tell my daughter I had more money then than I do now. I'm still working as a substitute teacher. And by the way, the attack on public education, it's not about the education, it's about the union. They want to get rid of the public union. Look at these charter schools.
Oh, yeah.
Those teachers aren't even allowed to unionize, and they're using taxpayer money.
Well, not only that, but the charter schools overall test way underneath public schools. It's not a good option. And Bill, what I'll say is this. Going off his $5,200, because he made $100 a week, he made $5,200 a year. The ratio is like 7.25, but I'm just going to do 7. If going off, he was 77 years old. He started doing this when he was 18, so just kind of doing the math on this. 7 times that would be $36,400 a year. That was a starting job when he was 18 years old. $36,400 a year. Could have a house, had a cabin, had a boat. Now I'm going to guess that cabin was an old school cabin. Those glorified shacks up in the woods. But you can see the difference. Today, if you work in the slaughterhouses, you work in a packing plant, guess what? You're getting paid $10 an hour. $10 an hour. At best. At best. And, you know, we can do the math. Let's do math corner. 10 times 8 times 5 days a week times 52 equals $20,800. He's making $15,000 less than they were back then. And mark my words, they're trying to get rid of the minimum wage completely so they would be even less. The last time this guy called in, he started to say that Parkland did not have a security guard with a gun, which they did have. It implied that if F-150 trucks were basically used as guns, that no one would have a big problem with that. And then also implied that it's somehow tyranny to not want your kids to be slaughtered for going to school. Randy is in Coon Rapids, and he wants to chime in on the 1950s economy. Hi, Randy.
Yeah, that was a good refresher. Hi.
Well, you were pantsed for the next 2 days on this show because of your ignorance on that issue. No, seriously, dude, you don't just move on, Randy. Let's talk about 1950s economy because there's nothing you can say.
We're not going to agree on that. So what I do want, I don't know facts. What Bill, he must, I don't know what his situation was, but here's what I remember back in the 1950s in Coon Rapids. The houses in the development, they were about $10,500. I remember my next-door neighbor telling me, because he was an original owner on the house, and his bill, his house payment a month was $90 a month, and he was a carpenter, a really good cabinet maker, and he could barely even scrape
by. Well, it's Rosedale, right? You're mentioning Rosedale? Was that Rosedale you're saying?
No, in Coon Rapids.
In Coon Rapids. All right, well, Randy, how old are you, if I can ask?
What's that? I'm 53 this year.
53. So you were born in 65. All right.
Yes.
All right. So
and this is what else I remember, Matt. I remember my dad, he was a machinist. He worked at 3M. He had to have a part-time job in order to feed us and to pay the bills until I got old enough to go to kindergarten. And then my mom worked in the school because my dad didn't want to work part-time anymore.
So
nobody could afford a phone back then. We had a party line. All the neighbors, there was like four people to one phone line because nobody could afford their own phone. We didn't even get a TV, I think, till the 70s. I think is when we first got a TV.
Randy, you were born in 65. You are talking about the 70s. You're not talking about the 50s. Randy, your own personal experience is coming from when the Republicans started getting us away from the golden age of labor union.
I'm telling you about what my neighbor was telling me from back when he bought the house in the 50s. And he was a carpenter.
I can say
and
this.
A really good cabinet maker.
I can say this about the people that I lived in. The neighborhood I live in Hopkins was built in the 1940s and 50s. Everyone that worked there was basically a laborer, working class. They could afford a house. Granted, this was one of those houses where it was, you know, three bedrooms, one bath, and no basement. And they had a basement, but there was nothing down there. But they had their own house. They had their own yard. They all afforded it. They were able to do this working one job a week, one job in the family, and do this. You want to insist that this is not what it was. Dude, this modern idea of working three shifts for dad, working two shifts for mom, trying to figure out ways that they can afford their apartment payment, that is a modern reality caused by this. And this guy that just called in, you may disagree with him, but that is a story you will hear over and over again.
And back in that day, we knew all the neighbors. I mean, all the neighbors.
You weren't alive
like
back
members.
In that day, Randy. You weren't.
No, I'm talking to you about back in the 60s.
Young Randy, I'm done with you. You weren't alive back in the 50s and early 60s. You knew all the neighbors. No, you didn't. You just acknowledged that you weren't even born then, dude.
There could be a time travel paradox, maybe.
Dear Lord, was there a flux capacitor in that F-150? God, you so want to, mind you, the same Republicans like Randy who keep saying that Mayberry was the good old days, you remind them that people could actually afford a life back then, and then it was like, oh, no, it was never that good. What are you talking about? It was the golden age of labor, dude. It was the 50s were a great time because we had an economy coming off the war, and you also had people being able to get one job and sustain a family. And we don't have that. And yeah, in the 70s, it was already deteriorating. Gary, I'll have to get your call another time. It was back in the day when I knew all of you. You were born in 65, man. What are you talking about? Oh, God. Mike's up next. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.